Is that about? Oh, anime. Yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry for you, audience.
Wow. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Kelvin to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael W.D. and Derek J.?
Oh, yeah, I feel it.
Oh, yeah. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
So we are here. We are the Freedom Fiends. This is Jeremy. I am here with Michael W. Dean.
The Freedom Fiends.
Returning after a long, much too long absence, Mr. Derek J.
Not quite in a long enough for us to call this episode the triumphant return of Mr. Derek J. Friedman. Friedworm.
Really? MK got two of those in less than a year's time. I think Derek qualifies, doesn't he?
Well, she's more triumphant than I am.
Aw.
Well,
she is triumphant, but...
Yeah, worms. There was that Nazi propaganda film. The was it The Triumph of the MK? The Triumph of the Megan? Isn't that?
I think that. I always thought
her name is that like a playoff of MK Ultra or some kind of mind reading.
No, her name is Megan Kellison.
Oh,
and then she got married and was Megan Lords.
Oh, cool. Okay,
and they got divorced and sort of kept MK Lords as her writing name, because why not? It's a really cool name.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, Lords, what a great name. If I'm renaming myself, I chose Freeman, but Lords is better. I lord over all of you. Hi.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting.
I'm your lord.
The name Dean is Latin for one who rules over 10. And it, it's from the same root as decimate or decimal. It means one.
Do you still have 10?
Awfully specific. Yeah.
Have you lost
10 and only 10?
I have 17 fiends and 10 that I lord over, and the rest, they're not true believers.
Gotta start cracking the whip.
The Kratom fiends. No, I just, you know, what was it? Did you ever just like Friends, that horrible movie, Friends? Horrible TV.
The show? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I like
it. Are you a Rachel or are you a Joey?
Ugh. Well, I'm probably a Joey, but he's retarded, but I liked him for the best, probably. No, I like Chandler, I think.
Chandler is definitely the one I think cool people relate to.
Yeah, but there was an episode in there where Joey went to he did a bunch of like TV commercials and stuff. He was kind of a struggling actor, his character was. And he finally got a role in a movie. I remember it was the one where he ended up just being the butt double for somebody. Remember that episode?
Al Pacino.
No, I don't remember that.
It was Al Pacino. He was it was the whole thing. I'm Al Pacino's butt. I'm Al Pacino's butt.
Okay, man, you guys saw this.
Is Al Pacino even known for his butt?
No, but
I've never heard of anyone saying
but he was like, I don't know, he's like 80 now, I think, and he was like 60 then, so they would use a butt double probably, or just a lot of actors don't want to show. You know, they demand a butt double or something.
I could have swore that was the line they played throughout the thing. That was why.
That is the line. He did want it, right? And the thing was, he said that the director was really tough, and he said that he'd read that whoever the director was, this fictitious big director, had a habit of like hiring one more person than he needs, so he can fire somebody in front of everybody on the first day.
Keep
him in line. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just do that with the fiends once in a while. I fired Jeremy and created a whole line of t-shirts and stickers and let him come back on Super Double
Brought a couple new fiends into the process.
That was fun.
Brought some back.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun that I fired him and made a line of t-shirts.
It was fun for everybody else but me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking one for the team, Jeremy, because I had a great laugh about it for weeks.
I'm glad, man. Derek. This is what I can provide to the community. You know, I do what I can here.
Hey, Derek, do you have the show clock?
No, I forgot about clocks. I don't believe in clocks anymore.
Okay,
I've changed.
Are you against time?
Mm-hmm. Well, then you're going to get fired.
Time doesn't exist.
You'll be the guy fired the first day.
Well,
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'll find the clock. I have the clock embedded into my brain. I got
tattooed. I'm going to send you the clock. Okay. I'm asking you, this is what radio's for, is for talking to one person while thousands of people listen.
Right. No. It literally is still embedded deeply in my brain. I think you did like a Clockwork Orange style eyes wide open memory transfer.
Eyes wide. Boy, that's confusing two movies in a funny way though, because his eyes are
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
The scene, he's got his eyes all open, propped.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things lately that reference the orgy scene in memes from Eyes Wide Open. The weird, creepy, like...
I've never seen that movie.
Stuff about Hillary, because, you know, supposedly, like, Hillary, you know, Bill, who? That's hot. I like it. Yeah, somebody made a meme today. It was, JP made a meme and sent it to me, and I shared it, and it was that picture recently of, I guess it was recently, Joe Biden somehow got the Medal of Honor or something from Obama, and in the picture,
Best Obama's Friends Forever Award,
behind him, like pinning it around his neck, and Biden's crying, and I saw it today. I saw two versions of it. I forgot it happened or didn't know it happened, and it was like, one of them said Best Friends Forever, and the other one said or something like that, and the other one said, you know, something like, how can I ever forget, you know, I'm trying to forget you but I can't, something romantic, and it was like, I forgot Biden existed. I really did. Like, I haven't. What's up? What are the cats doing? They biting you, baby? Yes,
the cats are attacking DJ.
Stop attacking
DJ.
Well, she's tasty.
The best joke I heard about that meme that going around of Obama putting the award around Biden's neck was that Biden was so sad because he was embarrassed that the farewell gift that he got Obama was a homemade coupon for a back rub.
Oh, it says, JP's meme says, I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, right.
That's gay.
Well, that one's good.
That's Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, and it's funny. You know, yeah. That's illegal to watch that movie in Wyoming.
Out loud.
I like the one that's, there was one I saw that said, it was Biden saying, well, I told him it was either this or BFF tattoos. And then on the bottom, it's him with a sad face going, and now here we are.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they give those things away like candy now.
Yeah.
BFF tattoos?
No, the thing that Biden's getting.
I did see an ad. I've never gotten a tattoo, but I thought this was weird. On Friday the 13th, there was a local tattoo parlor doing tattoos for $13. I was like, wow. Man, that's way too low. You're going to make a bad decision.
Like, yeah, that's like, hey,
the phrase you pay for what you get comes flashing into my mind over and over and over again when I hear that type of $13 for a tattoo. It's like, okay, prison quality or what are we talking here?
My first tattoo was $7. It's a musical note and it's over my left breast and I still have it and it's really blurry. But I got it when I was 19. I think anything from that old, I think tattoos get blurry in 35 years or something.
Yeah, and you had to pay with wooden nickels.
Wooden nickels,
you know. Yeah, with a price like that, it's like, should I get gummy bears or this tattoo?
Tattoo, yeah, get gummy bears. So, speaking of tattoos, you know, Sam McBride from Fang is a tattoo artist now,
and
I was chatting with him today, and I found out that there's another band called Fang. I was going to go look at his page to see who his current lineup and his band was, and I searched Fang band on Facebook, and there's a band that's not Fang that's using that name, which is mind-blowing. So I'm going to give out this email and put it in the show notes. If people want to write this death metal band from Florida that's never played a gig, who's using the name Fang, even like the similar kind of logo, and tell them, hey, you know, there's a band that's been called that, that's been together since 1980, except for, you know, the 6 years the singer served for murder. You can write on. You might want to say that. I didn't say that in my note to them, but you know, who knows? Their email is fangaus, FANGAUS at outlook.com. Boy, they're square if they have an outlook.com email, man. That's like Microsoft's Yahoo Mail or something equivalent.
They're accountants.
Your day job. So that's, again, that's Fang, Foxtrot, Foxtrot Alpha. Oh, I can't do this live. It's Fang, like the band Fang, and then US, like, or AUS, like Fang Alpha Uniform Sierra, would it be, at Outlook.com. Yeah, tell them that, I told them politely, but, you know, no one else has to tell them politely. That
send them memes.
Send them memes. You know, speaking of memes, somebody, speaking of memes on the radio. So I was talking to, you know, and I was going to email, I was going to write on Facebook back to Jim Jesus and Steve Miller, Freedom Fiends co-host.
They're big fans.
Yeah, but they actually listen to every show, more or less.
Yep.
So instead of emailing them, I'll just say it on here and they'll find out tomorrow. So I posted this thing. It was a little blurb of John Oliver on his show talking about something. And it went into this, like, the replies were Jim Jesus and Steve Miller telling me why John Oliver wasn't funny and why people only think he's funny because he's got an English accent, which is something John Oliver says all the time.
He's got good delivery, though.
He's great. He's great. But here's the point. Steve and Jim, the point wasn't, oh, John Oliver's funny. It's basically check out what he's talking about, which is that, and this is true, that apparently, I probably got rooked, but this sounds true, and I think it's true, and I think I've heard about it elsewhere, that North Korea is going to have their first out-of-country band come play, and it's the band Laibach. Have you guys ever heard the band Laibach?
No.
The industrial band that formed, I think, the same year that Fang formed, from Slovenia, who are, they're an industrial band who's very fascist sounding, and their imagery is very fascist, and their lyrics are kind of fascist, and they've responded, and John Oliver said this. This is fairly hilarious to me, is that they've been asked, are you fascists? And they said, we're fascists as much as Adolf Hitler was a painting. And then John Oliver shows one of Hitler's landscape paintings that he did before he was a crazy person. And said, so basically, yes, Laibach are fascists, but they're not very good at it. But it's mind-blowing to me that a Western band is playing North Korea, or not Western, actually they're Eastern European, but that Laibach, I mean, this is a band that used to play the same clubs Bomb played, and they're a band that, like, all my friends were into, and I was like, this is a joke, isn't it? And they're like, no, we are very serious about this band.
For the lulz.
Come on, man.
Wouldn't you do it? I mean...
Oh, I'd do it. Yeah, I think Freedom Feet. Well, I'm afraid I wouldn't come back. Michael Dean
and some of his weird friends.
Out.
And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both a website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org. Are you looking at the Rolling Stone picture, Derek?
Derek?
Can I lose you? Are you there? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
We're on radio. Okay, so during the break, you were talking about Laibach. Although you buried the lead, you started backwards, and you said, this guy, he looks scared in this picture with these, like, I don't know, defenders. So the guy
defenders of
was
liberty.
Laibach. Yeah, you're all high on Kratom, so you're having trouble forming complete paragraphs, but you're each phrase is great. You just got to get them into sentences and then paragraphs that work. Okay, so the picture you were talking about, is it the one in Rolling Stone magazine where they're standing in front of like the Capitol building and there's...
No.
No, okay.
The one I'm talking about, I haven't seen the one in Rolling Stone that I know of. I'm seeing a man standing in a suit that looks like it's a North Korean-style military suit, and he's holding a guitar that's in the shape of a heart, and it's red, and it looks really cool.
What did you search to find this? I'd kind of like to see this picture.
I'll send it over to you.
They played The Sound of Music. Did you know that? They played the band The Sound of Music, or the stuff from the play, the musical.
Wow, really? Weird. Did they play it like really heavy?
I assume.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said they're an industrial type band, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they do some stuff that's pretty, but it's usually ironic and leading to something that gets heavy really quick. And they're very, I mean, really, I should quit bearing the lead and just play some Leibach, but there might be cussing in Slovenian. I can't promise there isn't, but I don't even think anyone speaks that's listening probably, so I don't know. Oh, did you send it to me, Derek?
Yeah. And I can't imagine that these North Korean security guards had any idea who this band is, nor does it matter. It's just we got somebody. They look like rock stars.
Yeah.
And they're coming to our country, so we're pretty cool.
That was another thing that John Oliver says was that, who will be playing? There's a Western band, an out-of-country band going. Will it be the Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, a Michael Jackson impersonator who they think is the real thing because no one in North Korea knows he died? No, it'll be Leibach. All right, here you go.
Well, didn't the Rolling Stones do that? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that kind of like homo fascist Nazi music, like,
yeah,
it
like,
is kind of homo fascist.
Rammstein.
That's the one band like I know. We're also named after a city somewhere that most Americans don't know where it is.
Yes.
I think they're still playing those songs in clubs in Berlin.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Leather clubs.
So this what you sent me, this BBC article, Derek, about Leibach?
Yes.
Okay, the picture I'm looking at is just the band. It's not, there's no guards or anything.
Scroll down a little bit. There's a, you know.
Oh, I see. Security guards. Yeah, the heart picture. Yep. He doesn't look terrified. He looks weird.
The guards look terrified. Everyone in North Korea, whenever I see their picture, they're never sure if they're going to be ushered away into a firing squad.
Yeah, and it's true. And everyone there's skinny except the military people, because they're the only ones that get enough to eat. And a lot of them are pretty skinny too. Like, you know, I don't even think they feed all their soldiers very well.
I've seen some skinny ones. My stepmom went to North Korea this past summer.
Really?
And she took some pictures with. She was on a religious mission trip, which is pretty weird. I don't know why they would allow
that's terrifying.
Yeah, she went with some pastors. Well, no, they don't. I don't know. They put on a show, definitely. She's pretty dumb, and she was like, oh, the people there, they're just like us, and they don't have anything different. Nothing is bad. And it's like, hey, you know, they give you a special tour, right? You know, they're not really showing you.
She believed the tour.
They took her to the good hospital and the only supermarket that has food, the one that all the bureaucrats shop at.
Yeah,
that's what they used to do in Cuba. When people used to come down, they used to take them on tours. They'd show them all the good
stuff.
Yeah,
there's a documentary by Vice Magazine. It's on YouTube. I highly recommend it. It's probably the most honest look at North Korea ever, because somehow they got in and got the official tour, but like were filming. They weren't supposed to film. They came as journalists, but they brought like a cell phone camera or something and filmed, you know, like snuck and filmed and showed the real deal. You know, like the one that Ian Freeman always likes to quote, which I remember very distinctly, is they bring them into a computer school, and it's a room full of desks with computers, probably 200 people. You know, every desk has a computer. And then they go around and start looking at it. And, like, everybody's on the homepage of North Korea. And and everybody's like pretending to use the mouse and the keyboard and not going anywhere.
Clicking around.
Or maybe they're only allowed to go to the North Korea state homepage.
That's the only website available.
But they were.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, have you heard about BIPcoin? Not Bitcoin, but BIPcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. BIPcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, BIPcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. BIPcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, BIPcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, BIPcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading BIPcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining BIPcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take BIPcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to BIPcoin.org. That's BIPcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
I'd have to do another, since we're live, I'd have to do another show this week, Michael, because I don't have anything else scheduled.
You're going to do a show or not?
I didn't have anything scheduled. I said I would have to schedule another show.
Oh, so you want to edit tonight?
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
No, no, we'll do it now. Okay, we'll do it live.
Do it live.
Okay, so we're playing. It's a show about weird music. All right, so I'll play the Chipmunks on the wrong speed. So, do you guys remember the band the Chipmunks?
Yeah, I love that band.
Yeah, what is that band? Explain that band, Jeremy. I mean, anybody.
Oh,
the Chipmunks.
The Chipmunks. They started as a cartoon, didn't they? And then it was a cartoon about three little chipmunks who were adopted by this human named Dave Seville. I think was the guy.
A little too much.
Wow,
about this.
This is oddly specific.
Yeah, This was during when I was growing up.
I think I know about this show.
I watched the show a lot, and they ended up forming a band, and I think Dave became their manager. And it actually, the band, made music for it, and the music
Alvin
became
and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, Alvin and the Chipmunks, and the music became more popular than the actual show itself. So they actually put out albums and stuff. It was hysterical. And
yeah, so the music, they recorded the instruments at the normal speed, then slowed it down to half speed and had the singers sing it, and then sped it up to normal speed. And so the singers' voices are really high and sound kind of like chipmunks. So, like, here's an example, like the Chipmunks doing a Christmas song. I'll play some of this.
Alvin!
Okay, so people get the idea if they haven't heard the Chipmunks.
That was my favorite Christmas album when I was a kid. I was never really a big fan of Christmas, but the one, like, if I had to pick anything, I was like, that's the only thing I wanted to listen to. Like, I hated all the other Christmas music. Yeah. Like, listen to the Chipmunks, though.
So somebody put on YouTube, it's called Chipmunks on 16 Speed, Sludge Fest. And which one of you can explain what 16 speed means for people that didn't grow up with turntables?
I think it's the slowest speed you could put a record on. Like, it's for the really big records that have to turn slow.
Well, that's the thing, is like, no record players have had a 16 speed since probably the 70s, because, I mean, like, when
records
getting
smaller, right?
Well, no, when I was, most of the history of modern records, at least during my life, records have either been 45s, which are the little 7-inch records that are usually one song, it's a single, or 33 and a third, which is LPs, long playing, which is, you know, an hour, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of music on two sides. They're both double-sided usually, and there's exceptions, like there's 12-inch EPs, and there's split speed ones, but somebody put a Chipmunks record that's probably 33 and played it on 16. I mean, they might have done this on a computer. It'd be a lot easier these days, but this is pretty awesome. So this is, I think this is the song Heaven is a Place on Earth. So the music sounds slow and metal, and the singing sounds normal but ethereal. So it kind of sounds like like some bands I've liked. Like, it kind of sounds like the Swans or like Mellower Liebach or, boy, let's see, what else was there?
It reminded me of like, My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah. Oh, I saw them live at the Warfield in San Francisco. They were great, but they were so loud. Weird because you think of them as a kind of mellow band, but they performed at an ungodly volume.
Right.
I remember that.
So they had to hand out earplugs.
Really?
Yeah, at their shows.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. They handed out earplugs.
The funniest poster I've ever seen for a band, and I invite anyone to use this. It was some cover band in Ithaca, New York, when I went to visit my sister when I was like 12. So in like 1976, they rented a barn and they got a PA system and put on their own show and got a keg of beer, and it said, and it was like a promotion. It was like a new band and they didn't have an audience. And they said, we will, they got a bunch of kegs of beer and then they had cotton for earplugs and rolls of nickels. And their poster said, we will buy you a beer, pay you 5 cents and give you earplugs to come see our band. And they got 600 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Here's the Chipmunks sounding really metal. It's just the Chipmunks on 16.
That sounded cool.
It sounds great. It sounds better than most bands most people listen to, and it's unintentional.
No, that's a shame. You know, you think the Chipmunks actually buried this beauty in their artwork so that later their fans as adults could re-find it and be like, wow, these guys were so ahead of their time.
Yeah.
They knew. Paul is dead.
I was talking to a friend of mine that turned me on to this runs a small record label, actually, that Bomb used to be on. I was chatting with him tonight, reconnected with him after a long time. Sam McBride, we're on this guy's label. And the guy ran the label, he's the one that on his page had this Chipmunks thing, and I checked it out. And he jokingly said to me, so if I put this out on a 7-inch, do you think people would buy it? I said it was a new band. And I said, yeah, but you'd have to make up some backstory to make it cool. Like, you know, it's the keyboard player in Liebach and he moved to North Korea. And the guy who smuggled this out got, you know, the North Korean army killed his whole family or something like that. He liked it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that would sell.
I was listening to Liebach at the time. So,
so dark.
Yeah. So what's this got to do with government? Really quickly, for people that don't know the majesty of the fiends, and they're like, what is this? Why they let these weirdos into the... Who let these people into this radio station?
Access radio all of a sudden.
Yeah, so we'll explain government after I tell you about the meat puppets. So you guys ever see Nirvana Unplugged in New York, the MTV
thing? Yeah.
Yeah,
when it first came out, sure, all those years.
So you know that at some point they bring up two other guys who aren't in the band and play their songs, the Meat Puppets?
Yes, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
I thought they played David Bowie, man.
No, they played a David Bowie cover. They played a couple covers. They actually played a Lead Belly song, but I think they actually edit this part out of some showings of this because people who aren't Nirvana fans don't love it. But it's like two guys who were in a band, two brothers, the Kirkwood brothers, who were in a band from Arizona called the Meat Puppets.
Hmm.
Who were a really cool band, kind of country punk, cowpunk band, came out and played. And it was the first and pretty much last time the mainstream ever heard of the Meat Puppets. And I think because of it, they got one song on MTV that had limited play before one of them ended up in homeless on drugs and then was in prison. And I used to send him postage stamps because I was a fan. That's legit. That's like,
wow. Love.
That is love, man. It's the only thing you could send people then, but you can't even send that to people now in prison because people send drugs on postage stamps. All you can send is money, and they put it on their commissary, and they'll sell them a postage stamp for $4 or something. But the first time I heard of the Meat Puppets, I was thinking about this the other day. It was in like 1980. 82, I think, when I was, or 81, when I was 17 and in college, my first year of college at Jamestown Community College in Jamestown, New York, the record came in. You know, we'd get records, like radio stations get records in the mail from record companies that want airplay. And we got the record for the Meat Puppets, and my station director, who was really square, like I was standing there and he's going through the mail and I'm like, ooh, what's that? And he's like, Meat Puppets. I'm like, ooh, that looks cool. And he hands it to me and says,
dripping in meatballs.
He hands it to me and says, I'll tell you what, Michael, if you take this home and never play it on the air, I'll give it to you. Unheard, he said that. And I did, but then I also played it on the air late at night.
Nice.
But that's how I got my start in radio. I was, you know, college radio DJ, but on a station that was 10 watts, but with a bad antenna, so it didn't really...
You couldn't get it past the
student union, you know, like you could get it on campus and that was it. And at night, there were no dorms on campus. So at night, we were pretty much broadcasting to ourselves probably so we could get away with
it. And the janitors. So,
yeah. They wouldn't listen to that. They'd listen to real music.
Did you speak truth to power from your microphone about the student union?
I spoke truth to the air. Well, to Alpha Centauri, probably. That's probably there by now. To Alpha Centauri, I'm sure. Although I don't know,
well, have
10
be.
Watts can make it out of the stratosphere.
Well,
yeah. So that's well, you know what a meat puppet is, right? It's the same as a talking head, which is kind of funny. A meat puppet is a reporter.
Expression.
It's a newsreader. You know, like someone on the news, a meat puppet or an actor. I've also heard it for actors. Like it's a derogatory term directors use for actors.
Meat puppet.
It is awful. It's funny as heck, though. I like it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I have heard of the, like I do remember the meat puppets, though. When I was growing up, when I was younger, I had a couple of friends who had older brothers who were into like more like music. Yeah. That, like you said, they weren't really the mainstream, but I remember I distinctly remember them.
You should, because it's
been a long time, but I distinctly remember that band being discussed heavily by some of the older guys that I was around back then.
Hey, speaking of. Well, the record I heard that I really liked was called Blue Green God. It was really noisy, but kind of had a little bit of country feel behind it. But hey, have you guys seen this like 12-part or 10-part miniseries called Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States?
No.
No, I haven't got around to that.
I highly recommend it. Hey, let me edit tonight because I got like so many notes. I don't. It'd be easier to just edit than send you all the notes.
Go for it.
So
I'm Googling. Yeah. Or I'm, start paging?
YouTubing?
I don't know what the term is.
You don't start page.
I'm ducking.
Are we going to have the conversation about, what was it I said as a security theater?
Telegram.
Telegram. Yeah.
Yeah.
I admit it. I know it's Telegram. It's security theater, but I don't care. It's very convenient and I like it.
I just assume that it's not, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Not secure.
I don't say anything on there that I wouldn't say on the air for the most
this
part.
I like their hit. Wire. This is the Meat Puppets hit. Let me see.
Yeah, this was their one.
Oh, yeah.
Hit. Well, the one that made it to the mainstream, yeah. That was later, though, wasn't it? That song was like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, but that was like their post-Nirvana, or maybe it was before Nirvana. I don't know, but
it was around the Nirvana
I heard by them. This is the song Blue Green God. I haven't heard this in 30 years. All right,
I like those vocals.
When the final album issues, it's not good letting you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big, but now are small. If you're a true fiend, then you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big, but now are small. If you're a true fiend, then you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big, but now are small. If you're a true fiend, then you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big, but now are small. If you're a true fiend, then you gotta collect them all.
Take what? Where are we taking it? Can I go to
well, I liked that band.
I'm comfortable there.
The Meat Puppets.
Oh, Jeremy loved them, huh?
Well, I like I said, I remember hearing about them back when you were talking about in the early 80s, because, you know, 80, maybe 4, 85, 86, somewhere around there, I remember hearing them. And that album, where that song that you played came from was later. It from what I remember, it did come out around the grunge time, somewhere around Nirvana. But that song you put, the song you played off the earlier album, right away, I was like, I need to hear more. Yeah, I wanted the other music, like our music going out for the break. I'm like, I wanted that to be turned down. I was like, I can't hear Fiend it. Fong. I need to have this. Fiend I need to have Fong. This now. Because
who the heck is this? Is this Derek?
No, that was Derek leaving or trying to get back in, but apparently leaving again. But
he doesn't like early 80s music enough.
I guess not. But anyway.
Mode, though.
Fiend phone.
Oh, there he is.
Hey.
You there, Derek?
He's back.
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to hear a zany sound.
Oh, really? No.
No, that's not true.
How is the zany sound? What is the zany sound?
It was extremely satisfying because this new version of Fiend Phone lets me know when I've been knocked off or...
Knocked up.
Knocked up. I don't know, whatever the expression is.
That's a different sound.
So, it plays a little zany sound like... I'm thoroughly warned.
Yeah, it's just it plays it. The only thing I don't like about it is that it plays at whatever volume your headphones are at, and not at any of the other volumes you have set down on Fiendphone. So it's very loud, and it also plays when you disconnect, and that always gets me every time. Even though I should know when you purposefully disconnect, it still does it, and I should be prepared for that every time, but I forget every time, and it catches me off guard.
Fiendphone.
And Derek just wants to keep testing it out, apparently.
I think he's having trouble because you don't hear it when you disconnect yourself.
No, Derek? This is true. Nope, he's in and out. Maybe he's having some internet issues. But anyway,
Seacoast internet, man.
Possibly, but that But anyway, that song you were playing on the way out to the last break, I could really dig that.
Fiend
I
phone.
Hear like
Fiend
the,
phone.
You know, country-esque vibe in it that you're talking about. No, yeah, I'm like, I need to hear more of that.
You'll probably like a lot of cow punk bands.
I probably would. I think I've heard some of them. It's just been a while, so but I'll have to check those out because I definitely like that song. So I'd be willing to check out the entire album.
Check out a band called Gun Club.
Gun Club. Okay.
Gun Club.
I'll look them up too.
I'm seeing a new market for slow chipmunk genre. You get paid for in Bitcoin.
Me too.
I'll run a streaming server you can access with Bitcoin.
There you go.
Only.
I like it.
Well,
I think someone should start a Bitcoin gambling site. I mean, you know, not illegally, but yeah. You know, the first bomb record to Elvis in Hell is named after a line in a song by the Gun Club. It says, "Gonna buy me a gun just as long as my arm. Shoot everyone that ever done me harm. You look just like an Elvis from hell." Here, listen.
My heart is broken, so I'm going to hell. Bear me way down deep in hell. John, man. I want to go to hell.
So sounds like that's another band you might like.
Sounds like a
it rhymed ass. Hell with hell four times.
Yeah.
But it was awesome.
Clever.
Minimalism, man.
Sounds like a country-esque Violent Femmes.
Also check out Blood on the Saddle. Not the book by the Kotex Kid, but the band.
Blood on the Saddle.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little afraid of how much I'm liking Cowpunk. Just the name. It seems like
the
it's
name.
Bad.
Yeah, it really should come back, man. I agree.
We'll bring it back.
My friend
sort of trend.
You know, maybe my friend wasn't joking when he said he was going to put out the Chipmunks as like the guy from Livebox's new album from North Korea. Yeah, maybe you should say the guy.
That should be a thing.
The guy fell in love with a North Korean woman and stayed and as Kim Jong Il's Yoon Soon's guest, but then someone smuggled his music out and they killed his whole family. So people died for this music. That make you really want to listen to it, I think.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Theft.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, trigger warning. Death. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. Worms. So what's that? Oh, I want to clarify when I said Bob jumped up on my desk. Bob's a cat, not a person. So, yeah, man. So when we're talking about what's the principle called when Dobby Barker talked about this a lot, I remember. I sound like he's dead. I'm like, yes, my dear old friend Dobby. No, he's alive and well. He just doesn't talk to me anymore. Dobby. So, you know, I'll talk about him past tense. You ever talk to him anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, I love Dobby. He's one of the coolest people on earth.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, not bombs.
He hasn't responded to anything I've... You know, not that I've, like... I mean, if I wrote him directly and asked him a question, he'd probably answer. But
he's
used
not
to,
giving you the cold shoulder or anything. He's just doing his life right now.
Yeah, I think he's giving me a cold shoulder. But anyway, I was going to quote Dobby Barker, but...
But don't do that
one,
anymore.
That's one heck of a setup.
He won't give you any new quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to recycle the old ones till I get some new ones out of him. It wasn't even a quote. It's just, what's that thing? He used to talk about it a lot, about it's a law or a principle about that something like effective parody is indistinguishable from the thing it's parodying, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's Poe's Law.
Yeah, yeah, Poe's Law.
Yeah.
I think that that maybe Liebach... would fall under that because they've been slated for being, you know, nationalist and fascist in their imagery, but people have also said about them that it's like drawing attention to and criticizing fascism by parodying it. So there you go. But
I think people are well aware of the fascism of North Korea. I don't think that's a big.
I'm talking about the
world
band
secret,
Leibach, not about North Korea.
Okay.
Did you miss that part?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, well, I think that Poe's Law, even if they are, you know, trolling, basically, or, you know, making commentary with it, I think that Poe's Law is in effect if it resulted in them being invited to perform in North Korea.
Like attracts like.
They're the first Western or like non-North Korean. They're the first rock band to ever play there. I mean, you know, they're an industrial band. That's a form of rock music. Yeah. And no rock band has ever played there. And they played to 2,000 people and, you know, invite government people and, you know, probably a few people from the public who are exemplary. And people barely clapped and some of them fell asleep during the performance.
So, wow.
So I just looked up Kim Jong-il's titles.
Yeah. They're great.
You know, we call him Dear Leader today, or they do. They
he has
call
new
him
ones
Dear
all
Leader.
The time, though.
But did you know in the 1970s he was known as Superior Person?
You're talking about his dad. The dead guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, the current leader, was a child in the 70s.
I want to bring that one back, though.
Say it again. Superior person.
Superior
I think you should use it sarcastically on police when they stop you.
Oh.
Yes, superior person.
Yeah.
I think you could pull that off, Derek. Although, after seeing...
I'd probably get shot.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in New York State, too. But we're going to talk about Wyoming and some things that suck about Wyoming, where I am, and also things that are better about Wyoming than New York State, including the fact that there's a bill on the table right now that probably won't pass, but just the fact that it's even on the table, you know, didn't get struck down and is actually a bill, you know, in consideration is amazing. It's a bill to allow carrying of guns in government buildings.
All right.
Which
I did that just last week.
Yeah, it actually used to be legal here in Casper, Wyoming. People used to open carry to city hall meetings or like city council meetings. And the city council passed a law against it because they were getting really nervous because the city council here is really lefty for a, you know, Western Mountain State political board. And really, most of them don't like guns. And they really didn't like, you know, people standing up and basically screaming at them while having a gun on their hip. It made them really upset.
I don't like what you're doing.
Well, I always think when I heard about that, I used to think about the scene in Blazing Saddles where the new mayor, the black mayor, who's sent to the town by the sheriff, when he's up on the pedestal, you know, we give you a laurel and hearty handshake and the band's playing. And
everybody's cocking
the mayor,
their guns.
The mayor's introducing him, and you know, or the preacher is the preacher, and somebody leans over and says, "Hey, Padre, you might notice that a lot of people in the audience are stroking their guns." Yep, that's Wyoming. So, I guess this will segue into Wyoming. I just want to keep talking about Liebach and North Korea. It's too fascinating. But yeah, I guess we should talk about some real things to real people, to real politics.
I've got a smooth transition to that. I went to the state house in the Shire last week carrying, and one of the bills they were discussing
carrying a gun, to be clear, for people listening on the video, feed.
But also not to be clear, because I don't have a concealed carry license. So,
nod, wink, wink. I didn't really have a gun, but I had a gun.
Who's to say?
If I had a gun,
they don't have metal detectors and they barely have cameras. So, yeah, I was there and they were discussing whether or not there should be a constitutional carry where, like, they don't require you to have a permit to carry concealed.
Like Wyoming.
So I was proving the point that, like, hey, look, this doesn't matter. You can do it anyway.
Yeah. To make the point to who? The dust in your pocket?
I could tell this story and be like, hey, look, all you people who think that we need laws to do this stuff.
The eight people listening on the radio. I'm kidding. There's a few more than that. Maybe.
Well, anyway, that was my attempt at a transition to your Wyoming story.
Cool. Yeah, you live in New Hampshire. I live in Wyoming. They are both pretty gun-friendly states. Jeremy's stuck in the middle with you. In New York State.
It's not very friendly at all.
Where I left 35 years ago as quickly as I possibly could, screaming.
38 years almost ago yet now.
But it didn't take.
I came back again like 14 years after that. Like really.
Wait, 38 years ago, you were an infant child, right?
Yeah,
I was still trying to quit.
I was,
yeah, you didn't really have a choice.
I was born here. I was moved out, and then I came back when my mom moved back here.
I was basically, when I left at 18 or 19, when I left New York State, I was just trying to get as far away from the town of my birth as I could and my family as I could. And I thought about going to New York City, but I didn't because, well, no, first I went to D.C., and then I lived in Charlottesville, Virginia for 2.5 years, then went to San Francisco from 86 to 2001, and then lived in L.A. from 2001 until, 7 years ago, moved to Wyoming. Yeah, something like that. 8 years, maybe. So, in the time that I've been in Wyoming, it's constitutional carry, carrying a pistol in your pocket without a permit, concealed, has become legal. Open carry has always been legal here, and open carry is legal to some extent in like 3/5 of the states, something like that, but it's not really legal. Like, it's basically legal in a lot of California, but if you're going to get shot by the SWAT team and they'll figure out later it was legal, I'm not going to really consider it legal.
Right. Hey, yeah. What do you think about using the term discreet carry rather than conceal carry?
I like it, and I used to practice it, and here's what it is. I used to carry a black gun in a black holster with black pants, a black belt, and not a black belt like karate, but a black belt. Black pants, black belt, black holster, black gun, black t-shirt. Yeah. No one notices you're carrying openly. It's pretty amazing, you know? I mean, California, they probably notice it, but I don't think anyone would notice it there. And I pretty much wear mostly dark clothes anyway, so it's not something I planned. It's just something that one day I noticed I was wearing, and I was like, huh.
I wear red, white, and blue sequin short shorts.
I know.
And tuck my gun in my pants.
Yeah.
And it's pretty noticeable.
How do you hold a gun in short shorts? They don't seem like they'd hold one up.
Oh, I got the greatest thing. This is not like a product placement plug or something, but I got this sticky holster. I tried a bunch of different holsters, and this one's really good. It's got a material that, like, you don't need a belt clip, and that sounded dangerous to me. Like, I was like, okay, yeah. I want to try this out before I take it outside. But I jumped around the living room. I ran around the house. The gun didn't fall out, and it stays in there really good. It's a material. You know, people could go check them out. I got another one for my boyfriend.
Did you go slam dancing in it?
Slam dancing?
Do you remember?
What is that?
You don't know what slam dancing is?
I guess not. Is that mosh pit style?
Yeah, mosh pit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, that always scared me. I stay far away from those people.
Yeah. There's, do you remember that organization, Accuracy in Media, that did some hit pieces on New Hampshire and the Free State Project? And they mentioned Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, because it was showing at Pork Fest that year.
Cool.
And I was really honored to, like, be in that hit piece, you know, not by name, but the movie.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the things in there that they were really freaked out about. I think they sent someone to Pork Fest. And they didn't. This was like an armchair diss. They didn't go far to do it at all. They found a video on YouTube of... what's that horrible band that sounds just like Rage Against the Machine that's libertarians?
Oh,
something Inc.
Rebel Inc.
Rebel Inc. Yeah, horrible band. They played at Pork Fest, and there were, you know, three people moshing or something. And one was Pete Ayer, and he was open carrying. And that just blew their mind. Like, they found this video on YouTube, and they were like, and people slam dance while wearing pistols on their hips. Like, it was the second sign of the apocalypse or something. I really liked that.
That's how they dance in Mad Max.
Yeah, I think that slam, not to dig Pete Ayer, I like him a lot, but I would not slam dance with a gun on. There's too much chance of it falling off.
I went to the big gay dance party with my holster on.
Yeah.
It was safe.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Theater.
Bitcoin theater. I like that. So you're talking about social distortion, huh?
Yeah. Mentioned them earlier.
Derek?
What about them? Yeah, they're cowpunk or cow...
Yeah.
What'd you call them? Cow rock?
I have a story about social distortion, and it's not my usual, oh, I hung out and did heroin with them. I've never met them.
What's...
The closest direct connection to them is I, and this is just as a fan, I saw the band Agent Orange play, and the bass player in Agent Orange was the bass player in Social Distortion before the guy fired everybody. And then that bass player later died, I think, of AIDS or a drug overdose. When I saw him, he looked like a skeleton. But there's this movie called Another State of Mind. I think I'm going to put that in the show notes, too. It's all on YouTube, and I highly recommend it. Have you guys seen it? It's a punk rock documentary.
No, but I heard... Didn't your documentary just go on YouTube?
My documentary, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, I finally put a good encode of it up on YouTube. There's been an encode up on YouTube. It came out in the year 2000. The DVD came out in 2001. The movie came out in 2001 on VHS and came out on DVD in 2002. And there's...
I want it on VHS.
Yeah, you should. That's a collector's item. If you can find the VHS of DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. But so I put it on YouTube like... Oh, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe, like 2006, probably. And I didn't even have a way to, like, encode off of a DVD. So I gave it to a friend because he had, like, back then, like, you couldn't just find software to do it. And you couldn't just find software to, like, make DVDs back then. It was hard. The first commercial and, like, you know, DVD burners were rare and expensive. Yeah, by then they weren't that expensive, but you know, not all computers had them built in, and now you can buy a DVD burner for like $16 or less on Amazon. But then they were like $300 or so.
Yeah, I remember and, that.
Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, and they didn't work all the time too. Like, and DVDs blanks were more expensive.
Yeah,
this was all true of CDs 10 years earlier too. But they. You know, like you'd buy like a DVD blank was like a dollar, and like every like, you know, one out of four times probably it would fail and you'd have to burn it over.
Yep.
Yeah. It was not good times.
I definitely remember that because I remember I had to wait till like the cheaper ones first dropped down to like below 200 before I could finally afford one.
Yeah.
And then it was so frustrating because then I had, and then they still, like all of them still had the problem that you're describing where it did, you know, every like third or fourth one didn't work. But, and then on top of that, I had a cheap one. So it was like, I was like every, like, you know, usually I would get two out of three if I was lucky.
Yeah.
What do you do with all the broken DVDs that didn't Frisbees. Work?
You got, coffee, yeah, coffee, because
you make art
up on them.
They've been partially printed on, so you couldn't do it. You couldn't clothing. Reprint. Yeah, you couldn't. You couldn't do anything else on them. They weren't the RDVDs or whatever. They
sewn to your panties. Yeah. So I didn't have any.
I don't know.
I didn't have any. Yeah, I didn't have any way to encode it. So I had a friend of mine do it, and he mailed me. I think it was like a zip drive. Like lent me a zip drive. I don't think I even had a DVD player that could play the data. So I got the data, and it was like. Really crappy looking encode, like 240 by 320 or whatever that ratio was, like, you know, way before even crappy looking DVD encode size. You know, something that would look good on a screen that's like 2 inches by an inch, basically, and did not look good even 3x5 on YouTube. So that, and he didn't have... a computer powerful enough, and I didn't have a net, an internet connection powerful enough. So I had to upload it in segments. So the encode that's been on YouTube for 10 years and has, you know, 60,000 views is in chapters. It's like 8 segments, like 8 videos. And there is a playlist of them someone made, so you can go one right to the other, but it looks like hell. Sounds okay, but it looks like hell. So this weekend I had some time and I, you know, burned a DVD quality rip from it and put it up on YouTube. So it's up there. It looks pretty good. So, you know, it's got, I don't know, a bunch of old punk rock stars, Fugazi, Ian MacKay, Lydia Lunch, Richard Kern, Mike Watt from the Minutemen, a bunch of other cool people, and then a bunch of unknown people, too. It's kind of cool.
Rad, man. Well, it's definitely on my to-read list.
To read?
I'm going to be watch. Reading your movie.
You'll read my movie. Cool. Yeah. I could send you like the English subtitle files, then you could actually read my movie.
I'm going to try and play it backwards on a record player.
Oh, you'll find the hidden message.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
It's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all.
Meow for your life.
Yep, meow for life. Isn't that a Leibach sound? I think it's a song. It is. All right, so.
If it isn't, it should be.
It should be.
Get on
actually,
that, folks.
Life. Life meow. Is life, meow. I think is their
meow.
Song. So.
Meow.
So, social distortion. All I was going to say was, the first time my band Bomb went on tour in early 1987, we were late for the first gig. It was we broke down before we got outside of like California. Had to like stop on the side of the road. Remember I said in a previous episode, roadie should either be a sound man or a mechanic.
Yes.
This one was a mechanic. And he fixed the engine with, you know, pieces of a ballpoint pen and Scotch tape.
MacGyvered it.
Yeah, MacGyvered it, basically.
Some bazooka
and
Joe.
We got to the gig at in Oregon at a college at what is it? Rogue State, Rogue Valley College, I think Community College. Got on the stage as people were leaving, played 3.5 songs, people started coming back. Cops closed us down 3.5 songs in. There's still people who say I was at that show. Like that was our most famous show. They were like
awesome.
You know, probably 400 people. There were like 250 by the time we played because we got there so late. Like all the other bands had played and they were leaving. And you know, the guy said we pulled up behind the stage and the guy got on the mic and said, "Oh, the Bomb's here. They're gonna play. Don't leave." And you know, some people already left, but they came back and we jumped on stage. You know, like 12 people helped us load our equipment on. No sound check. Played 3.5 songs. Got shut down by the cops. People remember that. More than the shows that you played.
Why did they shut you down?
Because it was late at night. It was outdoors and people could hear it a mile away, literally, probably.
You're welcome.
For what?
You didn't even pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Send him a bill.
Seriously, free music. Come on. What are you complaining about?
Yeah. Wake up.
Yeah. So the next night we play in Ashland, Oregon, and the van breaks down again. Like, and we have a national tour booked, you know, like all across the country down.
This is going well.
South and back. Yeah. And so we're staying at this guy's house, you know, and the roadie's literally in his driveway, like fixing the van again that the guy like pushed with his car the last six blocks from the gig, you know, to his driveway. And we're watching this move. We're like, are we even going to make it to the next gig, let alone, you know, all of America? And the guy's like, calm down here. Have a beer. Watch some TV. He pops in this VHS tape, as was the style in the day, in the 80s. And says, check out this movie. It's pretty good. And then he puts it in. Like, as soon as he puts it in, it's like, oh, wait, maybe this isn't the right movie to watch. It's another State of Mind, which is the Social Distortion documentary about their first nationwide tour. And it's like, they got to D.C. and then they're supposed to come back through the South. They got to D.C. They're in a school bus, and it shows them like pushing their bus, a school bus, up Constitution Avenue near the White House.
Wow.
Like, I was like, yeah, this is like showing, you know, an airplane disaster film on a plane, basically. and then the singer freaked out. And like, he was a junkie too, and he was dope sick by the time they got to DC, and he like was screaming, and he fired his whole band and then like flew home because he had like family money or something, and they all had to take buses home or ride home with the film crew. And like, wow. They stole the bus for scrap in Virginia. Yeah. So
I'm starting to wonder if there's something wrong with people who are like punk genre. Is there something mentally, emotionally challenged, disturbed, yes. Or is it?
Well,
or
is, look at Michael.
Yeah. Yes. Can you be like not socially distorted and enjoy punk? Or
now
is it
you can. Oh, enjoy it. Yeah, I thought you meant play it. Now you can be healthy and do both. And I'm healthy now, but I wasn't really back then. We were all, you know. I mean, the drummer in Bomb, who I just found out is like living with his mother now at age 52. Wow. How's that working out for you, Tony? But somebody told me he's
probably
trying to
caring get... for her. Isn't that how they
no,
put
he's
it?
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's not. It's not.
I'm caring for my mother.
No, it's
caring
not
for her house.
It's he's been shooting dope for 30 years straight and is out of options and is recently clean.
I was going to say he's still going with that. Wow. So yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. But somebody told me that he's trying to get back in touch with me. And I'm like, yeah, I'll bet he is. But, you know, I recently said on a show, and I agree that, and this is indicative of, you know.
Wait, you said it, now you agree, so you're agreeing with yourself? Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes.
I just want to clarify that.
I didn't even catch that. That's funny. I mean, what I meant to say was, I said once, and I'll say it again, but I like how it came out better. I said, and the thing is, it wasn't like I said this years ago. It was like I said it last week. I said last week, and I still agree with me.
I agree with that smart comment from that smart fellow, Michael Dean.
That smart guy that was on this show last week, Michael Dean. Yeah, I agree with him. That I would rather push a penis up my no, wait. Yeah, welcome to the Kratom Fiends. I would rather push a pencil up my penis and break it than be in the same room with that guy.
Oh,
or even talk to him.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
You didn't catch on when I said that last week.
How did I miss that?
I said that to somebody today and he's like, I like that. Can I use that? I'm like, yeah. Oh. Yeah, but say penis instead of like a more crass version of it, because it sounds... I explained to him that like radio
the alliteration
cusses
works.
Yes. Exactly.
Also, but yeah, that too. But radio cusses sound weirder to people not on radio than if you cuss. Like
I get funny looks because I catch myself doing it on my other show. Like I don't curse as much anymore. Like I rarely curse, and when I do, I'm like Feinstein-ing and like, Schumer-ing and
yeah, you're out with your biker buddies and you're like, well, I have to go pee pee.
pee pee kitty.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, on to Wyoming. So there's a thing that's I saw this thing online today, and apparently this is trending on Twitter. There's a webcam, like a municipal webcam at an intersection in Wyoming that everyone's watching. Like, oh, this is so fascinating. And it's not fascinating. And I think that's the point. Like, but it's not like you know.
So it's so rural. It's so boring. It's fascinating. Like it's so
almost,
dumb.
but it's in Jackson, Mississippi, which is, you know, the tourist town. It's like where Dick Cheney lives. I mean, it's not Jackson, Wyoming. Jackson Hole. It's a town where it's illegal to smoke on the street.
I'm looking at it right now. It's got beautiful lights flashing, and it's all colorful.
Oh, you're looking at the intersection?
I'm watching it now. It's -7 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, there's a pretty little phone arch made out of antlers. Oh.
Like elk antlers and antelope antlers and deer antlers. And there's four of them. There's one on each entrance, each corner of the park. But that's more fascinating than anything anyone I've seen has posted about this anyway. It's just boring.
Is it near where Cheney lives, or like people hoping he's going to like die on driving through the intersection at some point?
I've read the feed and nobody says anything about that. But people are doing weird things now. Like there's a video I saw of someone going with those, you know, those like fighting training things that look like big Q-tips that people can box with.
Yeah.
Yeah. American Gladiator style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like somebody runs out in the middle of the intersection in broad daylight with that and then like fights with them. And then there's a video of a sheriff, like you're a state trooper, I'm not sure which, like pulls up in the middle of the night when there's no traffic and gets out and dances really dorky and gets back in his car. And he might be listening to music in his truck, but I don't know. You can't hear it. So it's, you know, there's no audio on this. So,
and why would he be doing it there for any other reason? Yeah, but that specific spot.
I don't know why this went viral. You know, if you want like the boredom of Wyoming,
well,
you know,
stupid cells, man.
Stupid. You know why I think it is? I think it's because no one knows anything about Wyoming. I think if it was Colorado, it wouldn't be interesting to them, you know?
Possibly. But like weird stuff like that does get viewership. Like
it's weird.
A buddy of mine that I do a couple other projects with, he does some really far out there stuff on his own and some other things that he does. And he's done some live streaming stuff where he gets like incredible viewership where he's like literally doing nothing. And people just watch. Because yeah. I think it's like it's like idiocracy being played out. Like people's minds are so melted at this point.
I think it is.
They're just like, well, everything else is kind of rehashed. So this is new. What's happening? Nothing's happening. Well, something's got to happen at some point. When's it going to happen? Like that, they'll sit there and watch it.
My YouTube channel that I've spent years building up just got 1,000 subscribers, and I noticed that this YouTube channel that has a standard webcam of a boring intersection where the lights are out has 37 times that number.
Wow. 37,000 subscribers.
Is that the same one in Wyoming you're talking about?
Yeah, Jackson Hole Town Square.
Is it a live feed
has 37,000 subscribers. Huh. Just in case something really incredible happens, we're going to get alerts. There's a live chat, too. There's people chatting.
Yeah, I've watched that. Every time a red truck comes up, they've typed red truck.
it's got, like, this sounds like something that started as like a college drinking game.
Yeah, it does.
And now it's just it morphed into other people are now. And of course, that people are capitalizing it by the fact that they know it's there and they're going out and doing these, you know, these antics.
I mean, I'd be willing to bet that those two guys who were doing the American Gladiator, like, came from out of state to do it.
Yeah, it's highly possible.
Because there aren't a lot of young people, like weird people in that town. It's mostly like store owners and tourists, you know.
Well, yeah, but how far is it from, what's the college town?
Other side of state. Oh, yeah, but
you know, the other side. Okay.
Laramie.
Oh yeah, but it's that far away. So yeah, it's possible. Aww. Who knows?
Yeah, Laramie, where the other 9 people Laramie. In the state besides me who use Bitcoin live. Yeah.
Laramie is where the gay guy got beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although you know the real story about that.
Yeah. Apparently he wasn't so good.
Yeah, it seems that
it was,
way.
Well, it wasn't the locals. Say, and I kind of believe this, just because Hollywood took it to such a, oh, this is Wyoming's horrible, you know.
Well, people want to tell the story horrible. Of like, oh, the protect a little gay,
yeah, you know? The poor gay guy got,
and, you know, he didn't deserve what happened to him, but the story here is he ripped off some drug dealers. It had nothing to do with him being gay.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah. My channel has a lot of subscribers, and I never go on it. See, I don't know how many I have subscribers.
It's your silly movies and your cats.
Yeah,
half of your subscribers are cats.
Most of them is because I have a video with 500,000 views on it. I have 1,074 subscribers, and I don't try.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
I promise.
No, really, this time.
We're going to do it. We're really talking about Wyoming.
I know everyone's just been on the edge of their seat about Wyoming. Tell me.
I live in Wyoming because no one can find it on a map, which means no one comes visit me. I love it. Although you live, people don't come visit you. Oh, but you live by the seacoast, but it's not like, it's like rocky seacoast,
isn't it? Where I live is a destination, man.
Is it?
I live, yeah, Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Do you have a destination wedding in your living room? That's kind of cool. I don't live in a destination. My side of Wyoming, the east side of Wyoming, looks like the moon. It does not look beautiful like Jackson Hole. It looks like the moon with sagebrush and tumbleweeds. Well, you saw Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. All the outdoor shots are filmed, you know, 20 miles from here out in the sticks. It's barren.
Yes.
Barren, like my uterus. All right, so Wyoming. Yes, I cannot have babies because I got my snip snipped. All right, so, you know, this picture of the guy from Laibach with the heart-shaped guitar with the two handlers, the two Korean military flanking him.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like they're in the band. It's weird.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they were. For that moment, they were in the band.
Yeah. Hello, I'll bet, I'll bet they treated them like most people treat the Rolling Stones, you know, like gods from another planet.
They probably just asked him for a sandwich.
What's the most famous person you bet? Each of you. Quick.
Like actually met or
yeah, like
just saw in person?
Said hi or they acknowledged your existence.
Okay. Paul Rudd. He's an actor.
He's been
in
somebody?
Several movies.
No.
Stabbed somebody. Somebody in that movie. Somebody in 40-year-old virgin killed his girlfriend, didn't he?
He's a handsome dude, and he was shooting a flick in Philly and was in the neighborhood I was in. I was at a Starbucks waiting in line, and he was zoned out, staring out the window, probably on drugs. And the lady behind the counter was trying to hand him his sandwich, like, hey, sir, here you go. And he's so zoned out, she had to walk around the counter and smack him with his sandwich to get his attention.
Did she smack him?
She smacked him with the little, like, croissant.
Wow.
In the arm or something? Or
yeah, like in the arm, not in the face.
She smack him upside, just whack him.
That's funny.
Here, get out of here. So,
how about you, Jeremy?
Probably Samuel L. Jackson, I guess.
Whoa.
What's that story?
Hey now.
Was it in Wyoming?
No, it was in Baltimore. I took a trip with a bunch of friends just because we used to go around to see different baseball stadiums. So we would take like weekend trips, you know, up and down the East Coast. And we just happened to go to Baltimore the weekend. They were opening a big ESPN thing down there. So he was there, you know, doing autographs and stuff. And he was actually
What? Why is he ESPN related at all?
He's always been he's like the host of the ESPYs for years now, I guess, because he's a huge sports fan, I guess.
And I guess
he's the most famous black man. It's not a celebrity. It's not
an actual athlete. There you go.
And not in prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, but he was there, and I guess he's also a big golfer too, so he plays in the pro-ams and stuff. So he was there at the, there's like one of these events where there was like, you know, try to hit the golf ball on a floating thing out in the, on a floating green out in the harbor. And he was there. So you got to meet him, shake his hand, talk to him for like a minute or two before he had to be shut, you know, ushered off. So
yeah, what did you say? Something brilliant?
No, something stupid. I was a young kid. I was drunk, and I'm like, dude, I love you and like whatever, because like I was a huge fan of like whatever he was.
Well, he probably loved you and whatever.
Yeah.
So the feeling was mutual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... a friend of mine just posted a Facebook this week. He was working out in the gym and saw Dave Chappelle working out in his gym.
Really?
And he had the nerve to go up to the guy and like, oh, hey, you know, I love your stuff. And it's like, man, this guy's working out. Leave him alone.
Yeah. See, the most famous person I met at a gym.
at a gym. You know. Yeah. Did you used to work out? I know you said you don't lately.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah. I used to definitely go work out. I was in incredible
Jazzercise?
Shape.
Jazzercise.
No. The most famous person I ever saw at a gym was Michael Fronte from the band Spearhead. Huh. San Francisco.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you probably don't. But he knew who I was, so that's better.
Well, that's
than
cool.
Someone you don't know at a gym who's more famous, I think.
So, yeah, Samuel L. Jackson.
Wikipedia page. You must be somebody.
Samuel L. Jackson definitely didn't know me, so there you go.
Does he have a Wikipedia page though?
Who? Samuel L. Jackson.
I'm pretty sure he does.
I just deleted it. I'm kidding.
Well, he's got some twisted ideas about how the world should run anyway, so. Great actor.
Man, so that Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
Heck of a state.
Well, we have a lot of notes, so we'll save them. 10th largest state, lowest population. Not the lowest population density, though. That's Alaska. If you really just want to disappear. But
the most dense people.